الرحمن بويت يا الرحمن
I will take it. We have the upper mic, please. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Again, apologies for the slight delay. I'd like to welcome our brother, respected brothers here, Abu Anas, as I introduced him in his absence when you weren't here, when he wasn't here. Abu Anas being a student of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and having studied under him for 7 years.
5 years.
5 years, Jazakallah khair. And our brother here, Dawood Abdullah, who will be translating for our brother Abu Anas with the assistance of our brother here, Abu Safwan. Ikhwan, I'd ask you as much as possible. I know you move forward as far as you can. There's still many people coming in, inshallah. So any space you can fill, please fill it, inshallah, ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. Yes, without further ado, the talk will start, inshallah. The title, as I had indicated to you, Respect of the Ulama, Respect of the Scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فنحمد الله تبارك وتعالى أن يسر لنا أن نلتقي بإخوان لنا في الدين في بلد تموج فيه الفتن من الشهوات والشبهات جميعا. أما الشهوات فهي ظاهرة عند كل من يخرج إلى الشارع ويرى ويلتفت يمنة ويسرى فيرى الشهوات العظيمة التي تعصف بالمسلم، وهذه الشهوات تندفع بالإيمان والطاعة والعبادة. وكذلك هذه البلد تعصف أيضا بالشبهات، وذلك لعدم وجود العلماء فيها، وهذا أمر طبيعي في بلد من بلاد الكفار. كذلك ولتصدر الرويبضة الذين يتكلمون في أمور العامة وأنصاف المتعلمين الذين يتنقصون العلماء ويريدون أن تكون لهم الصدارة. ونحمد الله عز وجل أن وفق إخواننا في هذا المركز على جمع الإخوة على منهج سلفي سني يتبع السلف ولا يبتدع ويحترم العلماء ولا يتقدم بين أيديهم. فنشكر الله عز وجل ونشكر جميع الأخوة الذين بذلوا الجهود من أجل تيسير هذا الالتقاء العلمي بالأخوة ودعوة سائر الأخوة من الأردن وغيرهم للمشاركة في هذا الالتقاء الملتقى الثقافي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. After giving praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and greetings of peace upon our noble messenger, our beloved Sheikh has expressed his happiness and pleasure for being here with you today in this noble environment, this location which has been blessed as we gather in a land which is overwhelmed with many misunderstandings and enticements, things which would seek to distract us away from our deen. He says that you need only to enter the streets of this country to see some of the various fitan, i.e. the enticements, the things which would encourage us and pull us away and try to corrupt us. You can only enter the streets and you would find them glaring in front of you. On the other hand, there is another form of fitan, trial, which faces us as a people in this society, and this stems from our misunderstanding surrounding our deen. And this is natural because in this country, this environment, there is an absence of scholars who will guide us and help us to understand the principles and dictates of our faith. Moreover, our Sheikh has alluded to the fact that there are yet others, despite these challenges, there are, you see, people who attempt to minimize the value and the contribution and the worth of our scholars. They try to criticize them in a way which is demeaning and which is not befitting of our eminent scholars. Once again, he expressed in closing his opening remarks, he repeated his thanks and his appreciation for the brothers in this masjid who have organized so skillfully this meeting, and particularly the brothers from Jordan who participated in making this event a reality.
ولا شك أن الله عز وجل قد عظم شأن العلماء.
There is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given great esteem to the position of the scholars.
وهذا التعظيم معلوم جدا لأن العلماء هم الصلة بين الناس وبين دينهم.
And this esteem and this honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the scholars is well known, because the scholars are in fact the means of communication between, the means of contact between the people and between the people and their faith.
ونجد تعظيم الله عز وجل والرفع لشانهم في القرآن في مواضع كثيرة جدا جدا.
And Allah's esteem and love and glorification of the scholars or praise for the scholars have been mentioned in many parts of the Quran.
من أهم هذه المواضع التي عظم الله فيها سبحانه وتعالى شأن العلماء.
And from I'm sorry.
قوله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم.
Among the evidences which confirm Allah's love and praise and appreciation for the scholars is the verse in the Quran when he says Allah bears witness that he is none, that there is none save him, and that the scholars they assume the responsibility of being just.
وهذا النص فيه من التعظيم للعلماء ما هو معلوم لأن الله عز وجل قد عطف شهادة أولي العلم على شهادته وشهادة ملائكته المقربين في أجل مشهود وهو إفراده سبحانه وتعالى بالتوحيد والألوهية.
And this esteem and appreciation, as you have witnessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the scholars, you should recognize that it comes after Allah bore witness that he is one and that the angels are close to him. After having established this truth, he made mention of the scholars, and this confirms and establishes the high esteem and love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the scholars.
وكذلك نجد أن الله تبارك وتعالى يذكر جواب أهل العلم في مقام الرد على الكفار والمعاندين والملحدين والمبتدعين، وما ذاك إلا لأنهم هم أهل العلم وهم بمنزلة من يؤدي هذا الشأن كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى ويوم تقوم الساعة يقسم المجرمون ما لبثوا غير ساعة كذلك كانوا يؤفكون وقال الذين أوتوا العلم والإيمان لقد لبثتم في كتاب الله إلى يوم البعث.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the role of the scholars in refuting and condemning the practices and ideas of the kuffar and the hypocrites and those who have gone astray. And he mentions this particularly in the verse in which he says, and on the day when the hour has been established, the criminals will think that they did not exist for an hour. And those who were given knowledge and faith, they would say, you were there in existence until according to the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the resurrection.
والنصوص في فضائل العلماء وبيان منزلتهم كثيرة جدا.
And the texts, the evidences concerning the virtues of the scholars are many.
وليس هذا هو موضوع بحثنا في هذا اليوم. لكننا سنتحدث عن حقوق العلماء.
This is not, however, the subject of our discussion today, but rather the subject of our lecture is the rights of the scholars.
والغريب في الأمر أن كثيرا من الناس يعرف حق والدي ويعرف حق جاره ويعرف حتى حقوق الكفار ولكنه لا يعرف حقوق العلماء الواجبة عليه.
The strange thing is, however, many people, they know the rights of their parents, they know the rights of their neighbors, they know the rights of even the kuffar, but they do not know the rights of the scholars.
وهذا الفصل بين العلماء وبين الأمة خطير جدا وينبئ بشر عظيم. فإن الأمة إذا فقدت الثقة في علمائها وأفرطت في أداء حقوق علمائها فإن هذا من أسباب الهلاك والعياذ بالله.
And this matter, this question of the importance of the scholars in the life of our ummah is very important, because if a people or a ummah lose their trust and confidence in their scholars, then be sure that this will be the beginning of the decline and destruction of that ummah. And I will begin to reflect upon some of the rights of the scholars. And their rights, i.e. the scholars, is that we should be loyal to them.
يقول الله تبارك وتعالى والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believing men and the believing women are friends to each other.
ويقول سبحانه وتعالى إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا.
And Allah also says that verily your friend is Allah and His Prophet and what?
والمؤمنون.
And the believers.
Just like to add that the translation of the word to be friends is part of the actual meaning, but the wala has more than just the friendship. It means to show allegiance and to be with them and also to show love.
وهذه النصوص في تولي المؤمنين بعضهم ببعض فكيف بتولي أئمة المؤمنين.
And these texts speak about the loyalty and allegiance and friendship which exists between the believers. So how can you, after recognizing this, how can you deny or not recognize
the importance of friendship and allegiance and loyalty to the scholars.
يقول شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في هذا ويجب على المؤمنين بعد موالاة الله ورسوله موالاة المؤمنين.
Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says concerning this that it is obligatory upon the believers after having established and given their loyalty and allegiance and friendship to Allah and His Prophet, then they should thereafter give such rights to the believers.
قال ويجب على المؤمنين بعد موالاة الله ورسوله موالاة المؤمنين كما نطق القرآن بذلك خصوصا العلماء.
And with reference to the rights of allegiance and friendship and loyalty to the believers, you should know that there is particular or special importance attached to the rights of the scholars.
خصوصا العلماء الذين هم ورثة الأنبياء والذين هم بمنزلة النجوم يبتدى بها في ظلمات البر والبحر.
Particularly because the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, and because they are like stars in the heavens on the darkest of nights, wherein people may find guidance.
وقد أجمع المسلمون على هدايتهم ودرايتهم. إن كل أمة قبل مبعث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فعلماؤها شرارها إلا المسلمين، فإن علماءهم خيارهم، بهم قام الكتاب وبه قاموا، وبهم نطق الكتاب وبه نطقوا.
And the role of the scholars have been well established and confirmed throughout history in the Islamic Ummah, unlike the other nations and Ummah, whereby they denigrated their scholars and they gave their scholars a very demeaning status. However, the Muslims, they recognized and upheld the value of their scholars, and they recognized their contribution in establishing the dictates and principles of this deen. And allegiance and loyalty here demands love and assistance and support.
ولا يكفي في البعض أن يكف شره عن العلماء فقط أو أن يكون سلبيا ولا يظهر الحب والود والنصرة للعلماء.
It is not enough that a people should refrain from showing hostility or any negative attitude to the scholars. This is not enough. What is more required is that we show love and support and assistance to the scholars.
يقول ابن عبد البر رحمه الله تعالى في جامع بيان العلم وفضله يقول الخامسة التي فيها الهلاك بغض العلماء ومن لم يحبهم فقد أبغضهم أو قارب من ذلك وذلك فيه الهلاك.
One of the scholars, Abdul Bar, said concerning this matter, one of the things which lead to destruction is the hatred of the scholars.
بغضهم و
ومن لم يحبهم فقد أبغضهم.
And who does not love the scholars will earn their hatred. Sorry, will hate them.
What, Danny?
Scholar's name was actually Ibn Abdul
Bar. ومن حقوق العلماء
And also from among the rights of the scholars is that they should be given obedience.
يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, obey Allah and His Prophet and those in authority over you.
وأولو الأمر صنفان.
And the people in authority are of two categories. The rulers and the scholars.
والصنف الثاني تكلم عنه ابن القيم ووصفهم بقوله والعلماء ولاته حفظا وبيانا وردا على من الحدثي وزاغ عنه وقد وكلهم الله عز وجل بذلك كما قال سبحانه وتعالى فإن يكفر بها هؤلاء فقد وكلنا بها قوما ليسوا بها بكافرين ثم قال رحمه الله فيا لها من وكالة أوجب طاعتهم والانتهاء إليهم وكون الناس تبعا لهم هكذا ينبغي على المسلم أن يكون مطيعا للعلماء وأن يكون الناس تبعا للعلماء.
Sheikh has given us here a very lengthy quotation, a statement from Ibn Qayyim concerning the status of the scholars and their rights.
I'll repeat it, shall I?
Now.
يقول والعلماء ولاته بيانا وحفظا.
Their loyalty and their friendship.
ولاته يعني كيف صار العلماء ولاة أمر؟ لأنهم يحفظون الشريعة ويذبون عن الشريعة من تأويل الملحدين وانحرافات المبطلين.
The manner in which the scholars have arrived at this status to deserve this loyalty and allegiance is because of their work in preserving the Sharia and the principles of faith and in explaining it.
ولات ليست مولات ولات يعني حكام يعني كيف صاروا ولات أمر أقصد أنا.
نعم.
حفظا وبيانا وردا على من ألحد فيه وزاغ عنه.
And also because they rebutted and refuted the practices of those who had gone astray.
وقد وكلهم الله عز وجل بذلك.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entrusted them with this role.
فقال ابن القيم بعد ذلك كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى فإن يكفر بها هؤلاء فقد وكلنا بها قوما ليسوا بها بكافرين. فإن يكفر بها هؤلاء.
If someone disbelieves in these scholars,
فقد وكلنا بها قوما ليسوا بها بكافرين.
You should know that these are people we have given authority, we had designated to them authority, and they were by no means from among the disbelievers.
ثم قال فيا لها من وكالة أوجبت طاعتهم والانتهاء إليهم وكون الناس تبعا لهم.
And you should know also that it is obligatory, it is a duty binding to follow them.
ومن حقوق العلماء توقيرهم.
And also from among the rights of the scholars is to be humble and respectful to them.
روى يعقوب بن سفيان الفسوي رحمه الله في كتابه المعرفة والتاريخ.
One scholar, يعقوب بن سفيان, says in his book
المعرفة والتاريخ,
The Knowledge of History,
روى بإسناد صحيح عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما.
In an authentic hadith which was traced back to Ibn Abbas,
أنه أخذ بركاب زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه,
that he held the stirrup of the horse of Zayd ibn Thabit.
فقال له زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه أتصنع ذلك وأنت ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Zayd ibn Thabit said, shall I permit something like this? Why should you do something like this? And you are the son of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما هكذا أمرنا أن نصنع مع علمائنا.
Ibn Abbas said, this is what we have been ordered. This is the respect we have been ordered to display and to give to our scholars. let me explain that when he held the stirrup of the horse, he held it so that Zayd ibn Thabit would be able to get onto the horse easily. He was assisting him. And Zayd objected because he felt it was not fitting for the cousin of the Prophet to do such a task. And Imam Ahmad reports in his Musnad in a hadith of Ubad ibn Samit that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not from among us who does not show mercy to our younger ones. And show respect and honor to our elders and our scholars. Respect and honor for the scholars is one of the dictates of faith.
ومن حقوق العلماء أيضا الرجوع إليهم في النوازل.
And one of their rights also is that one should or we should return to them in times of need.
يقول الله تبارك وتعالى وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says if they are visited with circumstances which cause them fear and discomfort,
وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم.
When the believers, Allah is speaking about this ayah, speaks about the believers, if they are visited with fear or something which caused them pain and discomfort, and they return to the Prophet, and they return it to the Prophet, they return, and the scholar and those in authority from among them, they would find the basis and principles from which they can come out of this hardship.
يقول العلامة عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله في تفسيره على هذه الآية.
One of the scholars, Al-Allama Abd al-Rahman ibn Sa'di, says concerning the while commenting on this verse, he said,
يقول وهذا تأديب من الله لعباده المؤمنين.
This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was training and inculcating in the believers good manners and ethics.
وهذا تأديب من الله لعباده المؤمنين عن فعلهم غير الله وأنه ينبغي إذا جاءهم أمر من الأمور المهمة أو المصالح العامة أو المصيبة التي فيها خوف عليهم أن يردوا الأمر إلى أولي الأمر منهم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing here the condition of the believers, and he's trying to train them so that they would not do something which is befitting of them, in the sense that when they are visited with hardship and discomfort, that they should know that the way out of this hardship is that they return to their scholars to seek advice and direction.
فإذا جاءت مصيبة عامة تتعلق بعموم المسلمين.
And if the generality of Muslims are visited with a hardship or a calamity,
أو الأمر الذي يختص حكمه بعموم المسلمين,
or something which relates to their rights and their affairs,
فإن الواجب على جميع المسلمين أن يلتفوا حول العلماء.
It is binding when they are visited with this calamity or hardship, the Muslims, all of them, they should gather, they should rally around their scholars.
وبذلك تأتلف الأمة وتجتمع.
And when they do this, the Ummah will grow in love and communion and togetherness.
لأنها لو تشرذمت وصدرت كل متكلم ومتعلم فإنها لا بد أن تفترق وتختلف والفرقة فيها الهلاك.
But if they do otherwise, and everyone takes the liberty to speak out his own mind and according to his own wishes and desires, then there will be disagreement and differences between the ranks of the Muslims, and in this will lie their downfall and destruction.
ومن حقوق العلماء عدم تقديم الأصاغر عليه. والأصاغر في اصطلاح ابن المبارك رحمه الله هم أهل البدع. وفي اصطلاح ابن عبد البر عام لأهل البدع وللأصاغر من المتعلمين أيضا ممن لم يبلغ رتبة العلماء. فمن حقوق العلماء ألا يقدم هؤلاء الأصاغر على الأكابر وهم العلماء.
Among the rights also of the scholars is that those people of innovation and of little learning who are ignorant should not approach the scholars without observing the proper ethics and rights concerning which they are entitled to.
وفي هذا روى ابن المبارك في كتاب الزهد بإسناد صحيح عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه.
ابن مبارك in his book on الزهد speaks comments on this matter.
عن ابن مسعود.
He relates that ابن مسعود said
لا يزال الناس بخير ما كان الدين في أكابرهم.
A people will always be in a state of happiness and contentment and well-being as long as their elders and scholars are respected and given their proper due.
فإذا كان العلم في أصاغرهم فذلك حين هلكوا.
But if knowledge is placed within or is given to those who are prone to innovate and are not steadfast and observant of the principles of the deen, then this will be the beginning of our destruction.
ولذلك بواب البخاري في كتاب العلم وساق حديث أبي هريرة في تضييع الأمانة في ذكر علامات الساعة قال وأن يوسد الأمر إلى غير أهله.
Also, because of this matter, Sheikh Al-Bukhari has given dedicated a chapter in his ahadith on this subject of called the Book of Knowledge, in which he says that if knowledge is given or placed in a place where it is not befitting, where it does not belong, i.e. to a people who do not deserve it, who do not observe its obligations, then this will be the beginning of hardship and destruction.
فهو من تضييع الأمانة أن يترك العلماء وأن يلتفت إلى من هو دونهم وإلى الأصاغر، أو أن يعطل دور العلماء، أو أن يعزل العلماء ويقدم الأصاغر. فهذا من تضييع العلم ومن تضييع الأمانة، وهذا من موجبات الهلاك.
It is actually a trust. It is a sacred trust that the scholars, their status and their role and their position should be recognized at all times. Because if this is not done, and honor and recognition is given to those who do not deserve it, then this will be the beginning of decline.
وفي هذا تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها كما روى مسلم في مقدمة صحيحه أمرنا أن ننزل الناس منازلهم.
And because of this, also in this context, the mother of the faithful, Aisha رضي الله عنها, she says that we have been ordered to, in a hadith narrated or transmitted by Imam Muslim, that she said we have been ordered to put people on the right stations, give them their due.
This is the introduction
ومن حقوق العلماء حسن الظن بهم والتماس العذر لهم.
And also among the rights of the scholars is that we should always think good about them, have good opinions about them, and to have open hearts and minds concerning them.
يقول في هذا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه كما ذكر عنه ابن كثير في تفسيره لا تظنن بكلمة خرجت من أخيك وأنت تجد لها في الخير محملا إلا خيرا وهذا في حق أخيك المسلم فكيف بأئمة المسلمين وعلمائهم
بن عمر
عمر رضي الله عنه says that do not think falsely about any statement which came out, which has been uttered by your brother, and to the degree that you always think positively and give credence to your brothers and what they say. And if Umar says this concerning the rights of your brother Muslim, can you not imagine what will be the status and the rights of the imams and the scholars?
قال ابن سيرين رحمه الله تعالى التمس لأخيك عذرا فإن لم تجد له عذرا فقل لعل له عذرا.
Ibn Sirin says that you should always make an excuse for your brother, because if you do not do this, فإن لم تجد and if you do not find an excuse for him, then you should say, maybe there will be an excuse for him. Or maybe he has an excuse. And also from among the rights of the scholars is that we should pray for them.
في هذا روى البخاري في الأدب المفرد وأبو داود في سننه بإسناد صحيح من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من صنع إليكم معروفا فكافئوه فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئوه فادعوا له حتى تروا أنكم قد كافأتموه.
In this regard, our Sheikh is saying that he quoted a hadith in the book of Imam Bukhari.
No. Adab al-Mufrad. Fi al-Adab al-Mufrad. Not in the Sahih.
In Fi Adab al-Mufrad, also by Abi Dawood, in which Umar
Ibn
Umar said that when your brother does something good to you, you should reward him. And reward him. And if you do not, if you are not able to reward him, then pray for him until such time that your prayers would have amounted to, or would have amounted to a form of reward.
وأي معروف أعظم من معروف العلم الذي أداه العلماء إلينا والذي تحملوا من أجله إسقاط الإثم عن الأمة وأدوا فرض الكفاية الذي أوجبه الله عليه.
And what greater goodness can you point out than the goodness of knowledge which was given to us by our scholars to the degree that it enabled us to observe our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ومن حقوق العلماء أيضا الإعراض عن معايبهم وعدم ذكرها والكف عنها.
And also among the rights of the scholars is that we should overlook their weaknesses and shortcomings, and we should conceal them and do not try to expose them and to publicize them in any way.
فهم بمنزلة الصحابة لا يذكرون إلا بالخير والجميل رحمهم الله.
Actually, they, the scholars, are on the level of the Sahaba, the companions, and we should not speak about them except by mentioning goodness and kind words concerning them.
وبهذا وهذا من جملة الأمور التي عدها الطحاوي في عقيدته رحمه الله تعالى.
And this is among some of the matters which Imam At-Tahawi has spoken about in his book on Aqidah.
قال رحمه الله تعالى وعلماء السلف من السابقين.
He says that the scholars from the righteous predecessors
ومن بعدهم من التابعين
and who came after them from among the تابعين
وأهل الفقه والنظر والخير والأثر
and the people of the fiqh, the fuqaha and the other scholars
لا يذكرون إلا بالجميل.
They should not be spoken of except with goodness.
ومن ذكرهم بغير الجميل فهو على غير السبيل.
And whoever speaks about them in a way which is not befitting, who speaks badly about them, then he is on a wrong path.
واعلموا رحمكم الله أن من يتكلم في العلماء فهذا دليل على انحرافه وضلاله وزيغه وهو متوعد بالوعيد الشديد.
And whoever speaks derogatorily about the scholars, he should know that this is in fact a sign of his waywardness, his deviancy, and that this will in fact earn him. He has been promised a great punishment as a result of this.
ولهذا روى البخاري في صحيحه من حديث أبي هريرة حديث القدسي الذي يرويه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب.
And so concerning this, Sheikh al-Bukhari transmitted in his book one hadith Qudsi in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah says, whoever shows enmity to one of my friends, I will declare war upon him.
من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى إن لم يكن العلماء وأولياء الله فليس لله ولي.
Imam al-Shafi'i said concerning this statement by Allah in the Hadith Qudsi that if the scholars are not considered the friends of Allah, then, or close associates or beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the scholars are not given this status, this right, this position, then indeed Allah has no beloved or friends.
ولهذا حذر العلماء كثيرا من الخوض في أعراض العلماء وفي الكلام فيهم.
And because of this, all the scholars have warned of the grave consequences for those that will befall those who speak badly about the scholars and their honor.
ولهذا قال الحافظ ابن عساكر رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه تبيين كذب المفتري وسنة الله معلومة في هتك أستاذ الذين يتنقصون العلماء فغالبا ما يختم لهم بخاتمة سوء والعياذ بالله.
من الكاتب
ابن عساكر.
One writer Ibn Asakir says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the faith of those who speak badly about, Allah has destined for those who speak badly about the scholars, He has destined for them a very humiliating and destructive end because of what they did and said concerning the scholars.
Badly about the scholars is that usually and most cases they have ended in a bad death, have a very bad death.
فقال الشيخ السامي تيمية رحمه الله في كتابه الصارم المسلول يقول ولهذا من سائر كلام الناس لحوم العلماء مسمومة.
Also Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says in one of his books that the flesh of the scholars is poisoned, meaning whoever tries to stab or eat, speak badly and dishonor the scholars in any way, then it is like eating poison.
ومن حقوق العلماء الذب عنه. روى أبو داود في سننه من حديث أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من ذب عن عرض أخيه المسلم رد الله عن وجهه النار يوم القيامة. فكيف بالذب عن أعراض علماء الأمة وأئمتها؟
And also among the rights, the rights of the scholars is that we should protect their honor and their dignity and do not try to expose them. And there is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever exposes the and tries to dishonor his brother, man. Whoever seeks to dishonor his brother, and
the point here is that what the person should defend the scholars and defend their integrity and honor. So he mentions that whoever does do that, then Allah subhanahu for his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repel the fire on his face and he will be armor. So what about if this person is not just a brother, in fact he is a person from amongst the scholars?
ولذلك كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يدبون عن أعراض بعضهم بعضا إذا ذكر أحدهم بالباطل.
So because of this, the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they always in the past protected the honor and dignity of each other.
كما في الصحيحين لما تخلف كعب بن مالك عن غزوة تبوك. فقال رجل من بني سلمة لما سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ماذا فعل كعب بن مالك؟
As was the case in the when in the battle of Tabuk when even sought to on many occasions defend the goodness and high station of his animals. If someone spoke badly about one of his animals, he would defend it and speak kindly on the other hand about it.
في صحيح البخاري أن ناقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قصواء بركت. فقال الصحابة رضي الله عنهم خلأت القصواء. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما خلأت القصواء وما ذاك لها بخلق ولكن حبسها حابس الفيل.
Once you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his camel sat down, and some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they commented, they said that the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given up, has shown some form of tiredness, weariness. And because it sat down at this particular time, and the Prophet, they said it in a very, in not a derogatory, but they belittled the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he defended it and said, no, my camel has not been befallen by tiredness or weariness, but it is because of some particular need that it has chosen to sit down at this point. And also from among the rights of the scholars is that they should be consulted. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the one who to whom revelation was given, and he was the most knowledgeable of the laws of Allah and the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ومع هذا كان يشاور أصحابه رضي الله عنه.
And even so, he used to consult and seek the advice of his companions.
وهكذا كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه.
And also, this was also one of the characteristics, the features of Umar's personality and his dealings with people.
كما في صحيح البخاري كان القراء أصحاب مشورة عمر. شبانا كانوا أو كهولا.
And in the Sahih
Bukhari.
Of Imam Bukhari, it was said that the majlis, the those to whom Umar consulted, they were from among the scholars. Sorry, that Umar himself, he used to consult his companions, whether they were old or young.
وهذا الأمر دليل على علم المشاور، فإن تفرده بالرأي وعدم مشاورته لأهل العلم نقص في علمه ودليل على اعتداده برأيه. قال الإمام مالك رحمه الله تعالى: لا ينبغي لرجل يرى نفسه أهلا لشيء حتى يشاور من هو أعلم منه.
And this also, this statement or this matter which we just mentioned concerning Umar radiallahu anhu, it really confirms, it is an evidence of how very important it is to consult the people of knowledge. And no one should think that he knows so much that he is not in need of consulting and seeking advices. Because when someone feels that he is not in need of advice or in need to consult, then this is actually a reflection of his ignorance and or his preparedness not to act in accordance with knowledge. And it has been reported in a hadith. Al-hadith al-akhir.
Kalam Malik.
Kim Imam Malik.
لا ينبغي لرجل أن يرى نفسه أهلا لشيء حتى يشاور من هو أعلم منه.
Imam Malik said that it is not fitting that a man should think that he is capable of doing something unless he had sought the knowledge of those who knew or who knows better more than him. And also among the rights of the scholars is to observe proper manners and ethics in their presence. And this is particularly when speaking to them and sitting in their circles.
فلا يرفع الصوت عليهم ولا يتقدم بين أيديهم ولا يشعر في وجوههم ولا يعاملون كما يعامل سائر الناس بالوقار والاحترام والأدب والاستئذان.
One should not raise his voice over that of the scholar. He should not disrupt him. He should not display any form of insolence or rudeness in the presence of the scholars. And rather, you should know that the scholars are not treated in the same way that you treat other people.
وهذا وحفظ الأدب ما حاول العلماء دليل على علم هذا المتأدب معهم.
And when someone observes the proper ethics and displays good manners in his relations with the scholars, this is an indication that this person has acquired some measure of knowledge.
يقول الشاطبي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه الموافقات.
الشاطبي says in one of his books.
يقول العالم المتحقق بالعلم له أمارات وعلامات ثلاث يعرف بها.
العالم
المتحقق بالعلم.
As one someone in whom knowledge has been established and confirmed, he has three. There are three ways of discovering and proving that he had in fact attained this level.
أن يكون ممن رباه العلماء في هذا العلم.
First of all, he would have been from among those who was trained by the scholars.
وأن يكون عاملا بعلمك.
And that he himself would be someone who practices that knowledge.
وأن يكون متأدبا مع العلماء.
And thirdly, that he would be among those who show good manners and conduct in the presence of the scholars.
هذه بعض الحقوق وليست كل الحقوق، ولكن لو روعيت هذه الحقوق لسلمت الأمة الإسلامية من كثير من الأمور والمشاكل التي نعانيها.
These are some of the rights of the scholars. They are not all of the rights. They are by no means exhaustive. But if we observe them and we practice them and we make them popular in our dealings with each other, then the Ummah will be saved from much of its problems and hardships.
فإذا شاور الناس العلماء وإذا رجعوا إليهم في النوازل وإذا لم يقدموا عليهم الأصابر وإذا ذكروهم بخير فإن الأمة تعترف وإن الأمة ستجتمع وستكون في الطريق المسدد بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى. لكن
if a people observe good manners in the presence of the scholars, they return to them and seek their advice. They give them their due respect and honor, and they follow their advices, then this ummah will be saved from many problems.
ولكن مع الأسف أن هذه الحقوق تحفظ للأصاغر ويحرمها الأكابر.
But with great regret, these rights are not given to the scholars, the people to whom they are due, but they are given to people who are less deserving and less capable of honoring the dictates of Islamic knowledge.
وسنذكر ثلاثة أمور نميز بها بين العلماء وبين من يشتبه بهم حتى لا تنزل هذه الحقوق على غير أهلها.
And so I will give you three indicators which would help us to distinguish between the real scholars, those who are deserving of these respect, these rights, and those who are not deserving, so that we will not under any circumstances make the mistake of giving these rights to those to whom they are not deserving or to whom they are not due.
الفرق الأول بين العالم وبين من يشتبه فيه هو العلم.
The first thing which distinguishes a scholar from one who pretends to be a scholar is that of knowledge.
لأنه اسمه العلماء مبالغة، صيغة مبالغة من التضلع في العلم.
First of all, because he is called an alim because of the great quantity and degree of knowledge which he has acquired.
وهنا البعض يرى في من يقلب الألفاظ ومن يجذب الناس بعبارات وله نتث ونبذ ومنثورات يظن أنه عالم وهو بالحقيقة ليس بعالم. فإذا سئل عن مسألة فقهية احتاج إلى مراجعة الكتب وليس له اجتهاد مطلق ولا معرفة بمقاصد الشريعة العامة ولا بتنقيح في مواضع الاختلاف والإشكال. وكل هذا يعرفه من جالس العلماء ومن جالس أشباه العلماء، فعرف الفرق والبون الشاسع بين العلماء وبين من يشتبه بهم.
You see, there are some people who pretend and who claim to be scholars. When you present them with issues and questions concerning the fiqh, they display an ignorance of the intricate knowledge of the fiqh, and they do not know the objectives of the Sharia. They are not in any way familiar with the details of the Islamic law. And so when you ask them concerning a matter, they will have to return to their books of references. And it is under these circumstances we really discover and know who are the real scholars and who are those who pretend or claim to be a scholar.
ومن الأمور التي نميز بها بين العلماء وبين غيرهم الإشارة التي ذكرها شيخ الإسلام لما تكلم عن العلماء، قال
وقد أجمع المسلمون على هدايتهم ودرايتهم، يعني أن المسلمين مجمعون على معرفتهم وعلى هدايتهم ودرايتهم.
And also
العلماء معروفون عند عموم المسلمين. أشباه العلماء معروفون عند طائفة من المسلمين هم خاصة هذا الرجل المنتسبين إليه.
And also you see among the ways that we can distinguish a scholar from those from one who is not really a scholar is in the light of what the advice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, in which he said that the scholars, they are recognized, they are acknowledged by the Ummah as people who have acquired and attained a high level of knowledge and understanding. But those who pretend, those who disguise, those who claim to be scholars, they are only recognized and acknowledged by that limited and very small circle to which they identify.
الأمر الثالث هو معرفتهم للفتن والنوازل.
Also, among the ways that we can know a scholar from one who is not really a scholar is the fact that they know how to distinguish and to enlighten us on matters which challenge us and which may bring problems and hardship for us.
This also being matters which are new, which Muslims face.
وفي هذا روى ابن أبي شيبة في المصنف عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه أنه قال لا تضرك الفتنة ما عرفت دينك، أي أن العلم هو العاصم من الفتن، والعلماء هم قوارب النجاة للأمة الإسلامية في الفتن.
من العالم؟ العالم؟
حذيفة.
One scholar, his name, صحابي. One Sahaba, حذيفة رضي الله عنه, he says that it is knowledge which would help us to become immune and protected from hardship and trials and calamities, and the scholars by returning to them and seeking their advice, they would help us to overcome and to protect ourselves from hardships and calamities whenever they threaten.
ولهذا يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله إن الفتنة إذا أقبلت عرفها العلماء.
And so Ibn Kathir, may Allah be pleased with him, he says that when a calamity threatens to befall a people, the scholars will know.
وإذا أدبرت عرفها الجهال.
But if a hardship or a calamity is plotted and planned, it is the ignorant people who will know it.
يقول ابن كثير أن الفتنة إذا أقبلت يعني من حين تقبل وتظهر بوادرها يعرف العلماء أنها فتنة، لكن متى يعرف الجهال أنها فتنة؟ ما يعرفونها من قبل أن من حين تقبل وتظهر بوادرها، لكن إذا أدبرت وولج الناس فيها عرف أنها فتنة بعد أن تدبر، وحينئذ لا تنفع معرفتهم لأن الناس قد ولجوا وتلطخوا بها.
When the fitna first appears and its signs first appear, only the scholars are aware of that. And this is what distinguishes them from the people who are ignorant. That is because mostly the ignorant people, they only know or become aware of the fitna when it starts to disappear. So that is the difference between the scholars and the ignorant people.
ونختم حديثنا بذكر بعض العلماء الذين أجمع المسلمون على هدايتهم ودرايتهم.
And so we will conclude our lecture by mentioning some of the scholars about whom all the Muslims are in agreement about concerning their guidance and their knowledge and learning. And I mention
it's just an example.
على رأس هؤلاء سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز حفظه الله تعالى.
Among them is His Excellency the Sheikh عبد العزيز بن باز.
والعلامة الشيخ محمد الصالح العثيمين.
And the learned scholar and Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen.
كذلك الشيخ العلامة المحدث محمد ناصر الدين الألباني.
And also the scholar and great muhaddith Sheikh
Muhammad
Nasir Nasir al-Din al-Albani.
كذلك الشيخ صالح بن فوزان الفوزان.
And also Sheikh ابن صالح الفوزان.
وهكذا وغيرهم كثير. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يرزقنا حفظ الأدب مع علمائنا وأن يرزقنا أداء حقوقهم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
And this brings us, there are other scholars. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help us to benefit from their knowledge. And we give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace and greetings upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We'll take questions now. Up until inshallah ta'ala, as the program is running a little behind, but that's alhamdulillah, we're not yet too late, up until 3:45. What I'd request of the sisters, if you could start preparing your questions for Sheikh Ali Hassan and Brother Abu Anas for the question and advice session that is going to be exclusively for the sisters. Sisters, please can you get your questions and everything ready for that particular topic at 3:45. Up until now, any questions from the sisters for Abu Anas now again will be in the right written form, inshallah ta'ala. And the brothers, you can put it in either written form or you can raise your hand and wait until the mic is passed to you, this particular mic that I'm holding now. Unfortunately, the brothers downstairs, we can't pass the mic downstairs, so you're going to have to write your questions down, inshallah. And thereafter, Abu Anas will answer them, inshallah ta'ala. Can we keep the questions to the subject? We've got a lot of time to answer many questions, and there are also going to be questions from yesterday's seminar, which will be dealt with throughout the day, inshallah. First question, coming from the brother here.
You mentioned during the talk that the ulama are at the same level as the sahaba. And I wanted to question this because we know the hadith when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the best of my ummah is this generation. Connected and we will follow them.
No, I did not say that they are on the same level. But maybe that the translation was not that accurate. I say they have the same right in this sense, like their companions, not to be to mention their whichever bad we think or we know about them. We just forget these things and we don't mention it, like we don't mention what has happened between some of the companions. It is clear and understood, right?
Now, the brother and the brother. Could you possibly first something about Sheikh, what they mean? They may soften our hearts and be an indication of what the scholars that we can attach ourselves to.
You want some knowledge about Sheikh Mutami?
No.
Shall you first? الشيخ محمد صالح تيمين حفظه الله تعالى تتلمذ على يد جماعة من العلماء منهم العلامة الشيخ محمد الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي تتلمذ على يديه قريبا من 13 سنة والشيخ محمد العلامة المفسر الأصولي محمد الأمين الشنقيطي رحمه الله تعالى والشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز حفظه الله تعالى تتلمذ على يديه وقرأ على يديه صحيح البخاري وبعضا من كتب شيخ سامي تيمية كذلك الشيخ عبد العزيز الطوع والشيخ علي الصالحي وحفظ القرآن على جده من أمه الشيخ عبد الرحمن الدامغ رحمه الله تعالى وحفظ القرآن وزاد المستقنع وألفية بن مالك ولم يجاوز 15 من عمره وثاق أقرانه من طلاب الشيخ لفرط ذكائه ولحفظه ولتفرغه حفظه الله تعالى مع أنه كان من أصغرهم سنة
Sheikh mentioned quite a few things, inshallah, I'm trying to mention as much as I can. He mentioned that the Sheikh took knowledge for a number of scholars. Amongst them is the famous Sheikh Abu Rahman ibn Sa'di, and he took knowledge from him for a period of 13 years. And Sheikh Abu Rahman ibn Sa'di is very well known, and he has many works, and was a great scholar who passed away approximately. In the last 20, 30, 40 years. And also, last generation, the last 50 years. And also, from the scholars, Sheikh, the famous scholar Tafsir, the Quran, Muhammad Al-Amin al-Shafiqi. And also, as well, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, who he took from him studying Hadith, like Sayyid Bukhari and others, and many works of Sheikh Islam in Taymiyyah. And another scholar of his was Sheikh Ali Saleh. And then the Sheikh would have mentioned that he learned the Quran from his
grandmother.
From his grandmother. And he at a very early age memorized the Quran and many other books of fiqh and others. And he had done this at the age of 15.
وبعد وفاة الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي ولي هو التدريس وصار خليفة للشيخ في الجامع الكبير في عنيزة وولي الإمامة والخطابة في الجامع مع أن هناك أكبر منه مشايخ في العمر والسن لكن الشيخ فاقهم بسعة علمه وذكائه حفظه الله تعالى.
And after the passing away of Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Sa'di رحمه الله, he took the position and became one of the main teachers in a university in Unayza, which is an area in Qasim in Saudi Arabia, very known for the fact that at that time there was many other great scholars who were older than him. But due to the Sheikh's excellence in his knowledge and his memorization and other virtues which he had, he had excelled them.
والشيخ حفظه الله تعالى زاهد في المناصب التي عرضت عليه. فقد عرض عليه القضاء قضاء الإحساء في عهد الشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم آل الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ورفضه وبعد وفاة الشيخ عبد الله بن حميد وكان الشيخ عبد الله بن حميد المفتي العام للمملكة وكان رئيس محكمة التمييز بمكة عرض عليه أن يلي المنصب بعد الشيخ عبد الله بن حميد رحمه الله تعالى وأن يتولى رئاسة محكمة التمييز بمكة ورفض الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى هذه المناصب وفرغ نفسه لتدريس العلم ولأدائه للطلبة في المسجد.
The Sheikh was very clear and strong on his approach to what he would like to do in terms of his daily activities in the sense that he clearly and distinctly refused to take any part taking the position of a judge due to the fact that he wants to spend much more time in teaching and writing. And he mentioned many examples where there are positions offered to him which the Sheikh refused.
كذلك الشيخ فرغ نفسه لتدريس الطلاب فهو الوحيد الذي يدرس في كل يوم ويدرس أيضا في الصيف في حال إغلاق المدارس يدرس الطلبة في الصباح من الساعة 8 إلى الساعة 11 يدرس في 5 دروس متواصلة دون كلل أو تعب أو ملل.
And also Sheikh is from the unique scholars who totally give themselves up to the students. And he's constantly teaching them, and every single day, in fact. And also, they organize certain times, like in the summer, where they have extensive studying.
وهو محب لطلابه يتفقد أحوالهم ويزوج من كان منهم معسرة ويعين من يريد الحج على أداء حجه ويمده بالمال. ويقضي ديون الغارمين من طلابه ويتفقد أحوالهم ويسأل عن أحوال أسرهم وله عمارة مقابل الجامع الكبير وقف لله عز وجل لطلابه الذين يطلبون العلم عليه وهو الآن يبني عمارة أخرى مجاورة لهذه العمارة لأن العمارة قد ازدحمت للطلاب.
And the Sheikh is very beloved among the students and in fact takes great concern in them and has detailed knowledge of their situation and circumstances. He in fact helps them out in various ways. Amongst that, people who are need to get married,
or have a debt or do not have nowhere to stay. In fact, there is a building there which he has put there as a trust, which students of knowledge actually live there and learn. And in fact, there's another one which will be, inshallah, put up soon, as this one is completely full now.
والشيخ معروف بمناصحة ولاة الأمور سرا ويجلس إليهم ولا يبدي ذلك علانية. وكذلك الشيخ معروف حفظه الله بالحج في كل سنة يحج, وأيضا معروف بصيام الأيام البيض, فدائما ما يذهب ليفطر ثم يأتي ليكمل الدرس. وأيضا معروف له بقيام الليل وفي طريقه إلى المسجد يتلو آيات من كتاب الله ويذاكر القرآن. وكان بكاء في صلاته حتى أن المسجد في صلاة الكسوف كان يرتج من بكائه وبكاء المصلين معه. فالشيخ على علم وعبادة وطاعة وزهد في المناصب وتفقد لأحوال طلابه, فجزاه الله عنا وعن المسلمين خير الجزاء.
And he also mentioned that the Sheikh is known to give sincere advice to the leaders in secret, as which is well known as the manhaj of the Salaf, and not openly. And he also mentioned many other things about the Sheikh, that he makes Hajj every year, start talking about his worship, and that he's known to be fasting the 3 days of every month, and in his worship, mentioned many other things, and also, for example, how he would get to the masjid every day. And in fact, constantly, 24 hours, he's involved in some way or not in teaching people. And it's something I've witnessed myself, and as an example, to him, Shaykh, مثلا. أنا
رجلنا
كل شيء زائد.
وبعد العصر أيضا.
رجلنا كل شيء زائد. أنا. Something which I witnessed myself is that, just to show you how the Shaykh is involved in knowledge, even from walking from his house to the masjid, there will be people, he'll be walking with them, and they'll be questioning him and he'll be answering. And in fact, it is well known that even a commentary of a small book was completed this way, from the Shaykh walking back from his masjid after Fajr to his house every day until it was finished, because of the lack of time of the Shaykh.
إلى ولاة الأمور وإلى المسؤولين, ونفع الله عز وجل بهذه الشفاعات, وخدم الشيخ حفظه الله كثيرا من المسلمين في هذا الباب.
And especially after Salat al-Asr, he sits down and meets the people who are in need and looks to their concerns, and is always involved in writing things or interceding for them. And by through Allah's grace and mercy, the Shaykh has helped many a people. May Allah reward him with goodness.
We're going to take one of the written questions before we hand it back to the floor, inshallah.
سؤال ماذا تعرف عن شيخ مقبل؟ فرق الواجب؟ لا, هي كل من بعض الناس في الحكم
المقبل
عن شيخ مقبل الفادي.
بس
The question is, person says, our respected Sheikh, many of our brothers and sisters in this country are ignorant to who our ulama are. At present, some of our brothers and sisters refer in specific to Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi as a troublemaker, and that he is not a scholar. Please give us nasiha about the Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi.
Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i is one of the scholars, and he is a hadith scholar in more specific. And this is the witness of many scholars for him. And this is one of the ways is how to know the scholars. Like the Imam Malik said, I did not deliver the fatwa until 70 scholars admitted me that as I am willing to do this. Bin Baz, Sheikh Bin Baz, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Albani, maybe you have heard the last tape, he was asked about Sheikh Rabi and Sheikh Muqbil. And he said both of them are very known and very Salafi and Sunni scholars, but Sheikh Rabi put too much effort in authorizing and writing books, However, Sheikh Muqbil Wadi put much effort in da'wah. That's why Yemen is converted now to all mostly Salafi educated da'wah. And Sheikh Muqbil, he got many of his knowledge by the scholars of the Medina. He used to study in the Islamic University, and he does his master's degree in the Islamic University in Kitab al-Izamat wa Tatabbu' for the Dar Qutni, rahimahullah ta'ala. And those who think that he's making troublemakers, no, there are some يعني, opponents like Sururis or others. They came once and second for him and visited him, and he was cooperating with them. But when things happened later on after the Gulf War, then he knew how they are doing, how they are dealing with him. Then he quit and then he started talking about them. That's why يعني, people say he's a troublemaker. In this sense, if you want to say this, you would say also about Imam Ahmad, he's a troublemaker because he was talking about Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila and about al-Karabisi and about Abi Thawr or about whomever got a mistake. So it's not a matter of a troublemaker of this way.
There's one, yeah, the brother who's got his hand up there, the mic can be passed to him. That's going to be the last question from the floor, then we're going to have one more written question because of the time. But Iqbal, we're going to have many an opportunity to ask the Sheikh more questions. With regards to those who are asking specific questions, they can ask the Sheikh themselves in private directly once the opportunity is there, inshallah.
Last question.
Now, the last question will be from the floor because of the time. JazakAllah khair. Pass the mic to the brother at the back.
He can't shout.
There is jealousy. There's some people who hate the Sunni scholars. Nobody would say this unless there is something in his heart. There is a book in two volumes called "Is Hayat al-Albani wa Atharuhu wa Musannafatuh," the life of Albani and his books and his influences. And this author is Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Shaybani. He brought about all the scholar sayings about Albani. Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, many scholars other than this. It's in two volumes talking about all, many scholars saying that he's one of the biggest scholars in the world. Sheikh Abdul Ghaleman, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Muhammad Salih Uthaymeen, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi wa sallam.
Naam.
We'll end there, give the brothers time to have a break, stretch their legs and everything. If the brothers upstairs can be patient and allow the brothers downstairs to move out and do what they're doing first, and thereafter the brothers upstairs can move on. The security will announce that to you. Sisters, please can you get your questions ready and send them through via myself and or address to Abu Safwan before 4 o'clock. And then when we resume, brothers and sisters, first and foremost, the request to the sisters, alhamdulillah, the children have been overall under control. However, the brothers are being distracted now by sisters who are sitting by the door and talking. So if the sisters can, inshallah, respectfully try to refrain from speaking near the door because it is distracting the brothers. Also, brothers, can those who have brought their bags and everything, please place them in your cars because it's taking up space which could otherwise be utilized for brothers. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We will resume again for the brothers, inshallah. Asr prayer, please get ready for Asr prayer.